We present the news quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome to what is, alas, the last show in this series. And in case anyone needs medical attention on hearing that news, Katrina Young has some important information from the Plymouth Health Authority magazine.
Purchasers of services and providers will have different reasons for achieving complete separation. Cornwall Health Authority would wish to see separation of Plymouth units from Plymouth District Health Authority so that there was no apparent authority bias when providing services. Plymouth units would be controlled by the District Health Authority and be managed by the District General Manager, although they would have no representation on the District Health Authority. Plymouth units would wish to see Cornwall units separated from Cornwall District Health Authority to prevent a bias in favour of the Cornwall Health Authority. This information is intended to help you understand some of the more important changes to the health service.
Well, thanks, Katrina, and thanks to Alan Davis of St. Austell for supplying us with that. Well, time to meet the teams now. Unfortunately, Richard Ingrams isn't with us today, but then again, when is he? So please welcome, on my right, John Wells and Martin Young. However, Richard may well make the odd guest appearance, thanks to the team on my left, Alan Corran and Rory Bremner. Round one kicks off with this from Scotland on Sunday.
7 years ago, the headlines branded Carol Compton a witch. Now she's produced a book about her experiences with the aid of a ghostwriter.
We thank Mr. Greg of East Lothian for that. John Wells, your question. Who saw red by the Kremlin?
Well, this was a most distressing story. Apparently this Mr. Oblomov figure arrived to watch the parade carrying a little parcel, which the security police didn't notice. And he then took his rifle out and took a pot shot at Gorbo, which is very distressing indeed. And not a sort of thing we want to laugh about on the news quiz, I don't think.
But we will.
Well, no.
Absolutely right. It's an unnamed comrade from Leningrad who took a whimsical pot shot at the Soviet leadership during the October Revolution Day parade, an annual event held every November. Apparently the KGB consider that a ritual display of military hardware is not the place to be brandishing guns. Martin, who's flying a kite for a British nosh?
Ah.
Try John Selwyn Gummer.
Yeah, oh. That was a brief hint offered to me there. Brief hint. John Selwyn Gummer.
Yes. Wonderfully well answered there.
Came to me immediately. John Selwyn Gummer is very keen on British nosh, and he's flying a kite for it.
He's saying that the 30% subsidy that favours the French, the Spanish, the Germans, the Luxembourgeois, people on EOS, Knossel, anyway, in fact, everybody who happens to be in the common market except us, should be suspended to allow our rubbish to wander free and infect the continent with listeria.
I think we'll move along. It is all about John Selwyn Gummer. Peace be upon him. The Ministry of Agriculture loaves and fisheries. While attacking France and Germany for not agreeing a cut in farm subsidies, the Reverend Gummer has called for home produce to carry a British kite mark, presumably to tell you how high it is. Time now for a sad piece of news seen in the Daily Telegraph.
The Citizens Advice Bureau at Longridge, near Preston, has shut after 18 months because no one has asked for help.
Thanks go to Sue Mudge of Cambridge, who now plans to move to Preston, who sent us that. At which point, we welcome Rory Bremner and ask him this. Which member wants to contest a no-contest contest?
This is Martin Young. Will you tell me the answer?
This is the Heseltine one, isn't it?
Yes.
This is a Heseltine, which is in fact an English translation of Boris Yeltsin, apparently. And, no, he's taken to the habit of ringing the doorbell at number 10 and then legging it round the block before. before Fazza can get to the door. And he was innocently filling in the back. It was a Kellogg's competition, in fact. He was at home filling in the back of his cornflake packet under the bit where it says, fill in this sentence, I would like to be Prime Minister in less than 6 sides to your constituency. She got rather rattled about it. Am I somewhere near the mark? He's since taken off on a whistle-stop tour of airport lounge photo opportunities.
Yes, absolutely right. I can't argue with you at all. It all refers to a political event of the week, opening of the Conservative leadership contest between veteran heavyweight gentleman Jim Thatcher in the blue corner and Mad Mike Heseltine in the blue corner. Mr. Heseltine agrees that he denies bidding directly for the leadership, but accepts he refuses to rule out running. He added that he was sure that Mrs. Thatcher would lead him into the next election in what's considered to be his fiercest attack so far, or not, all of which got him severely slapped down by his constituency. Lucky chap. Many of his colleagues have to pay good money for that sort of thing. Alan Corran, your turn for some helpful lyrics.
There's a sky boss calling yonder to the round up in the sky. Get along, you little dogies, for it's time to say goodbye. For the home corral is calling to the cowboy in the sky. And a new corral is waiting where a cowboy never dies.
It's all about, it must be the one about cattle droppings in the sky.
What?
Yes, it must be about BSB and sky.
Yes, that's right, exactly right.
And what they're going to breathe into the firmament. There's a law in physics about two things being so ghastly they can only be equal to one another. And I think it's BSB. BSB and Sky.
Apparently, in fact, what's happened, the BSB squareal learners are allowed to trade in their squareals for two packets of Daz or a Sky dish, whichever they prefer. They're going for the washing powder.
It's all about Rupert Murdoch, who until this week, the only media figure who didn't have a show on BSB, who has solved the problem by taking it over. Meanwhile, here's an idea for Christmas.
New satellite dish voucher, £50. Blood pressure monitor, as new, £30.
You can trade both in for two packets of Daz. But thanks to Mr. M.J. Dakin of Preston for that. And let me give you the scores at the end of round one, which are John and Martin, 3, but Alan and Roy well in the lead with 5. Okay. Round two opens with a report from the South Somerset Star.
Pleading guilty in the magistrate's court to attempting to strangle his wife, threatening her with a knife, and finally hitting her over the head with a metal kitchen stool, a Somerset man was put on probation for 12 months and ordered to pay £21 costs. Defendant's counsel said the case had brought the couple closer together.
Let me thank Jack Bush of Somerset for that. John Wells, who's judged there'll be no business from show business?
Oh, dear, this always happens. I expect it was in today. And they rocket ahead. I can see that Alan's ready to take it.
Pass it across to Alan.
I hesitate to do this with Bremner sitting beside me, but it's...
No, go ahead.
Mackay of Clashfern, who's stopping Judge Pickles taking any more money for appearances. He can go and appear on things and write journalism, but he can't get any money for it, which is a thing probably all that he deserves, but...
Clashfern's very upset. Yes, apparently, he's quite right, I did see it.
Yes, this concerns Judge. How do you plead and are you courting Pickles? Who's been told by the Lord Chancellor... Who's been told by the Lord Chancellor not to accept payment for his column in the Yorkshire Post? I don't know why, perhaps he's read it. And it's a propitious time for this.
A country policeman has been fined £2,400... for importing and keeping pornographic videos and magazines by Cheltenham magistrates.
Peter Langley of Stroud said that from the Stroud News and Journal. Martin, who unwittingly displayed Down Under, Down Under?
Oh, this is the Princess Fergie.
Right.
And there's a very good Jack cartoon, actually, with all the dresses blowing up round all the ladies and saying which one is the Duchess of York. But they did actually know it was her, and bits of her nether regions were displayed in our more tasteful press this week.
Right. That also surrounds the Duchess of York. That's what I call a big story. The bad news is that we've been deprived of Fergie's company while she's in Melbourne having her skirt blown up at the taxpayers' expense. And the good news is that it's the Australian taxpayers' expense. Rory, it's your turn for what appears to be an original piece of music.
I've been UNCOUPLED. I can't bring myself to say it, no siree. I'm a carriage with no marriage. I'm a van without a man. I've been UNCOUPLED.
It's like Webber or Brightman or both who are going their separate ways, very rapidly. In fact, there's a decree in EC which will be set to music next year sometime. But it's quite interesting because in the very week in which a couple were forced to live apart because they had huge arguments over dogs in Kirkcudbrightshire, the Lloyd Webbers are now apparently going to live a long distance apart due to disagreements over cats. No, it is. It's the Lloyd Webber story, and
that's right. The critics have all raved about the divorce and forecast it would run for years. And a short time was had by all. Alan, to close the round, what is a fruitless jam with a vegetable?
It's one of those things about the EEC debate that makes you want Ridley back. Armed. You want to cross the channel in a landing craft behind Ridley, don't you? I mean, the carrot has been de-designated a vegetable by all those ghastly people on the other side of the channel. He's now a fruit. This is because the Portuguese use it for jam. And there is an organisation called the European Jam Conservancy Organisation. 200,000 a year each. They sit on their asses in Strasbourg and they re-designate fruit.
Jammy bastards.
My God, I do a good Rory Brendan.
Anyway, you will, Oscar, that. You will.
You're absolutely right, Alan. This refers to the carrot and the venerable British habit of calling it a vegetable, which now offends the EEC Jam Directive. Portugal forced the Eurogollies to reclassify the root so that their popular carrot marmalade could be called a jam. Stands to reason, really. It also pains to inform us that from now on the turnip is a flower, bananas a fish. And the Portuguese will be known as Portuganders. all of which is fully explained in the EEC publication, Oranges Aren't the Only Vegetable. And thank you for that, Rory. And the scores at the end of that round are even more remarkable. John and Martin are a magnificent five. But Alan and Rory are a tearaway 10. We start round three with this piece of alarming news from the Sunday Express.
Road accidents in Taff's Well, mid Glamorgan, are being blamed on a fluorescent church sign featuring the words, Lord Save Us.
Thanks to Vera Harvey of Bromley in Kent for sending us that. Not a lot. John, it's your turn again.
Oh,
why was there no love lost when the tennis player made a point?
I have to resign, really, from this show.
There's
always these questions about tennis players. I mean, and at this time of year?
Yes. Oh. They play all year round now.
Oh, do they? Yes. I expect it was, let me just think. Was it somebody who doesn't normally play tennis?
Yes, it's an Englishman.
Oh. You want him, I feed him, Barry.
So it wasn't Boris Becker.
No, it isn't.
Oh, Corinne is pouncing.
Finish with their character assassination.
On you go.
What is Andrew Lloyd Castle?
Right.
The great white hope of English tennis, who held up a placard, dropped it a couple of times, of course, but he was... He said, no poll tax here, during something... It was a British championship. Was it a British championship?
Absolutely right.
I don't think he was playing anybody. There's nobody to play. Knocking around with a couple of court attendants, and halfway through, he held up this placard saying no poll tax.
And talking of the poll tax...
A poll tax protester told magistrates yesterday he was exempt from the community charge because he was an alien from the planet Venus. Admitting failing to pay his poll tax, Captain Beanie, who once sat in a bath of baked beans for 4 days, said, I may be only a bean, but I'm not stupid enough to pay this tax. I'd rather go to the can.
Sounds rather like Captain Wedgwood Beanie.
Indeed it does. But many thanks to Sally Williams of Cardiff for sending us the cutting. Martin, your turn now for a piece of folk legend.
Sucking sickly sausage rolls in a dirty old town on the back of the time, setting my sights on gold. It's plain to see, it's black and white. This Geordie boy's gonna do all right, gonna make you dance, gonna make you sing. Those Geordie boys do anything.
Good grief. Martin, the question is, who's the latest Burke to make it into the peerage?
I think it's Mrs. Thazer, who's making amends for her lack of a northern policy by singing this song and saying that she likes the time. No, it's Gazza. It is Paul Gascoigne, who is singing this dreadful song, which he does very badly, instead of playing football, which he does rather well.
Yes, it's all right. It is Gazza, the midfield dynamo of the Huddersfield Choral Society, who apparently is now in Burke's peerage. It seems that when he asked to describe his lifestyle, the literary powerhouse put playing football for Tottenham. This and other problems he had completing the questionnaire could have been avoided, according to his teammates, but he refused to pass the paper to them. Thank you, Arsenal supporters. He was also warned this week that sharing an entry in Burke's doesn't entitle him to wrap his arms around Princess Diana. Well, not unless she scores a particularly good goal. Rory, it's you again. Indeed, it's been all the evening. Who's the guest of honour at Nutwood's birthday party?
It's Rupert. Yeah, Rupert, not Murdoch, the other one. Rupert Bear, who is 70 this week, I think. Yes, 70 this week, and is apparently the government have declined to give him a special birthday celebration on the grounds that he is so popular he could well stand against Mrs. Thatcher in a Leavershire election. But no, he's 70 and we're all very pleased.
You're absolutely right. It's all about Rupert Bear, Geoffrey Howe with a better tailor. No, please, run. He was born on November the 8th, 1920, and subsequently enjoyed all the trappings of 20th century humans, including nice warm clothes, engaging chats with his pals, and 70 years without a job. He remains the oldest newspaper cartoon character, at least 6 years older than Winnie the Pooh, Mickey Mouse, and Sir John Juna. Meanwhile,
police who rushed to Oxford Road, Aylesbury on Tuesday following reports of a body in the river discovered a large teddy bear stuck in the mud. It's understood that the bear, approximately 4 feet high, had been to a teddy bear's picnic, got drunk and fallen off the bridge into Bear Brook, but pooicide has not been ruled out.
Nasty taste.
The end is nigh, Alan. Why did the sculptor refuse to make a summary exhibition of himself?
Oh, it's that bloke Caro does drain pipes. There's this spot welder called Sir Anthony Caro. turned down election to the Royal Academy. You wouldn't want to turn up there much, would you? They've got his stuff on the roof of the Haywood. It's extraordinary. It really looks like a broken-down Skoda. But there we are. Chaka and Songu. But it's him. It's Anthony Caro.
Well, I think you've lost a friend there, Alan. It is Anthony Caro, the eminent sculptor who has rejected election to the Royal Academy and criticised the standard of the summer exhibition. Apparently, he believes that the suffix RA stands for rank amateur. Now, let me give you the scores at the end of round three, which are John and Martin 7, but Alan and Rory romping away with 15.
Just time to fill up.
And now a sad tale sent in by Norman Arlott of King's Lynn.
The Village Home Watch Scheme held its annual meeting at Bradgate House, home of the chairman and secretary, Ted and Anne Plant. There was a very disappointing turnout of members, and the chairman and secretary both resigned due to the poor attendance. The treasurer stated that there was £110 in the bank, which it was agreed would be used to purchase 5 new home watch signs to replace the ones that were stolen.
John Wells, the final round, and we trust the final chance to hear this.
Love is my reason for living. Love is my reason for giving. life would be only empty and lonely if it were not for love. Do you remember our meeting? Surely you heard my heart beating. Now in your tender arms I surrender, finding my own true love.
I thought Mrs. Miller was bad enough.
I thought that was Gazza's B-side.
It sounded just like Gazza's B-side, I'll tell you that. John, who's still in the pink after 500 ripped bodices?
Wait, was that Barbara Cartland Sims?
It was.
I thought it was, you amazed me. She's an extraordinary woman, you know. She writes lying on her back, covered in tiny white dogs. You can see why the government is trying to introduce some form of legislation.
Pause 28.
Anyway, that's who it is. And she is a very... she's a kind of, to me, a very, very heroic figure. And you can cut that bit out.
Very old.
Let me tell you about it. It's Barbara Cartland, the popular first-generation word processor, who's just had a lunch party to celebrate the publishing of her 500th novel. As it took a couple of hours to arrange, by the time the guests sat down, she'd published another 26. Miss Cartland, whose car bears the number plate BC29, her date of birth.
very, very ungallant.
Very ungallant. Decorated the affair entirely in pink. Martin, what's so unromantic about sex and the office Christmas party? Sex and the office Christmas party? Any takers?
What are you offering, Barry?
It'll be a survey. It'll be a survey saying 30% of secretaries get pregnant by filing cabinets.
Something like that.
No, go on.
A word I've never come across before, pheromones.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Pheromones, they're things people smell of.
Yes. We know about
stop those. There if I were you. Quit while you're behind.
Yes, I think perhaps I will. However, let me tell you what I have written down here. It's all about pheromones, the olfactory secretions from the feet, armpits and the like, which aid sexual attraction. According to a leading chemist, they are five times more potent approaching Christmas.
Who's the leading chemist? Who's behind you?
Why is he standing in front?
You can smell him a mile away. Rory, I think we're quite right, Alan. We should have stopped before we started that one. Rory, whose spirit message was, pull over, you're nicked?
Oh, yes. It's Stringfellow, isn't it? It's Olga Stringfellow, the medium who cured Brian Robson, or tried to cure Brian Robson for an injury during the World Cup, and she was done for speeding the other day. And when questioned by the police in court, in fact, she said that she needed drink as part of the healing process.
Right.
Which apparently Brian Robson did too, because he was nicked for drunk driving last year. Absolutely.
Very good, excellent. This refers to the distinguished faith healer, Ms. Olga Stringfellow, no relation, incidentally, to the famous London nightclub, Olga's. Who was banned on a drink-driving charge. Her defence claimed that vodka was essential to her healing. Apparently, she has no problem in conjuring up her spirits. It's only conjuring up enough tonic to go with it. It's difficult. Anyway, finally, Alan, why was Teddy torn apart having gone to the dogs?
When I first read this, well, actually, my wife read it aloud to me, and I thought it was an island in the Persian Gulf, because she said it's Puppy Derby. And I thought, I wonder what Puppy Derby is. Anyway.
Next to Puppy Derby.
Yes, please. Puppy Derby turns out to be a thing where very small greyhounds, I mean, hardly larger than whippets, run round a track and win £5,000. At least they do if nobody chucks a teddy bear on the track. And someone got hold of an ageing Rupert in the middle of the crowd and hurled this thing on the track, and these dogs fell on it and tore its scarf from trousers. Last cry of mama was heard as the thing disemboweled it. Anyway, So the puppy derby's got to be run again.
Absolutely right. The dogs ignored the hare and devoured the bear instead, while a furious crowd tried to throw the youth in after it. Now, before we reveal the final scores, let's have some cuttings. John, have you got a cutting for us?
The one I really liked in a late summer edition of the Daily Mirror, from the Cool Touch, which the old codgers call them, which is,
when dressing, pop your knickers in the fridge for a couple of minutes for a cooling start to the day.
Yes, I think that matches the mood of the programme. Martin, what have you got for us?
This is from the Aberdeen Press and Journal, Barry.
That's very good. My favourite newspaper.
And it's about our boys out in the desert and the camouflage kit, what has been sent to them. And there's one particular paragraph I like. It says, the Y-front underpants have elasticated waist and legs to protect against gas attacks.
Rory, what have you brought for us?
I love this one.
Still.
The Northrop Corporation has taken legal action to prevent a Texas company from marketing stealth condoms on the grounds that the public might confuse them with the B-2 stealth bomber. Quote, in opposing the company's application for a trademark, Northrop contends that the use of the name is likely to cause confusion or to cause mistake or deceive people in the marketplace. The paper goes on to describe the plane, 250 feet long, $50 billion, $50 billion a throw and black, and the condoms, a few inches long, $5 a pack and red, white and blue, and to explain how John Hughes, founder of Stealth Condoms Inc., hopes to market them under the slogan, "They'll never see you coming."
I said the last programme, I didn't realise quite how close I was. Before I give you the scores, Alan, what have you brought?
Following the armed hold-up of a North Bay building society, Sydney police were delighted to find that remote-controlled cameras had captured clear pictures of the robber, a woman in her late 30s. Posters were distributed throughout New South Wales, and 3 weeks later, the woman was identified as a secretary living in King's Cross. A raid on the house, however, revealed not only that she had not been seen since the robbery, but she was actually a male transvestite. This is really bad news, said Chief Superintendent Mulholland, who is leading the hunt. 3 weeks is a long time. A new poster has been issued showing the woman with a beard.
That's more or less it. Let me give you the scores at the end of the programme, at the end of the series. John and Martin have done quite well with 9, but Alan and Rory have really romped through today's programme with a great score of 19, the best of the series. And finally, over to Catriona for a story from the Solihull Times.
Angry Shirley residents have lost their battle against vandals who carried out repeated attacks on a community centre. The building in Stretton Road on the Woodlands estate is to be demolished to prevent further destruction.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were John Wells, Martin Young, Rory Bremner and Alan Corran. The chairman was Barry Took and the news is read by me, Katrina Young. The programme was written by John Langdon and the producer, Diane Messias. Thank you.